Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine. Charles and Rebecca, bring your family on up here. Hey, we got Charles and Rebecca. They've been called to go to Oklahoma, and I really don't want to do that. How many say amen to that? Come on. Everybody say, stay. Yes, come on, man. Hallelujah. Make you feel bad. Praise God. Get pastors up here. And these folks have been such a help. Such a help around this place. We can't get a better bouncer in our church than this guy right here, man. Come on, man. And then the cakes that this woman, oh, come on, man. Hallelujah. Hard to replace. She did a recipe book for the ladies. Come on. Praise it. For the mighty women. Yeah, come on. Come on. No. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, it's one of those, what they call those, I'm sorry to turn my back to you, but I'm going to give this to Charles. This is one of those bittersweet moments. Amen. But I know that God knows what He's doing. God has told us in this church that He goes, do not corral my people. How many say amen to that? Aren't you glad that if you feel like God wants you to go somewhere, I'm not knocking at your door, yelling at you, please come back. No, we don't do that here. We let God do what He wants to do. And apparently God is taking this beautiful family to Oklahoma. What city?
Edmond, Oklahoma.
Oklahoma City and area. Nice. And so let me just tell you right now, if any of you want to go to Oklahoma, you've got a place to stay. Amen? Yeah, come on. Even though they might not have a place to stay on their own right now, but that's okay. Brother, go ahead. Yeah. I'm sorry.
All right, there we go. I can't really put into words what this church means to me and my family. I personally went through a really dark time in my life a couple years ago, and what this church has done for my family and for me personally, I don't think I could ever repay other than share it with other people. And I think that's something that's going to be happening. I'm not 100% sure what God has in store for us, but I know our obedience and patience to Him has opened up a lot of doors, and I'm excited to see what He has for us in the new season that we're going to be mm-hmm. stepping into. And I just have a couple of scriptures that I want to leave for you guys. They come from the Passion Translation, because that's what I've been reading a lot lately. So let's see here. The first one is Romans 15:13, which is, "Now may God, the inspiration and fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with unconscionable joy and perfect peace as you trust in Him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continue to surround your life with His super abundance until you radiate with hope." And I hope that's what happens for everybody that's in here. And people that don't attend church, I hope they find that someday too. And then the last one is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. "You are not forgotten, for you have been chosen and destined by Father God. The Holy Spirit has set you apart to be God's holy ones, obedient followers of Jesus Christ, who have been gloriously sprinkled with His blood. May God's delightful grace and peace cascade over you many times over." So as you guys go through your journey, I'll continue to pray for you, and I hope the Holy Spirit is filled inside you guys and leads you and your family, and you have the ability to share your testimony to other people.
Praise God.
All right, I just want to thank everybody for the love and support that we see with all of you every time we're together. It's a really special thing, and it's the one thing I think we're going to take with us to Oklahoma and begin to share with others. So the one thing I want to share with you was Ephesians 1:11. In him we are obtained inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will.
Yeah, come Amen. On. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God.
I just want to speak over you that I know you surely are not the same man that first walked in through those doors today.
No.
The Lord has just filled you with all he has for you. And as you guys go on to your next phase in life, you are taking not only what you've gained here, but what came to my mind right now is the blessing of Numbers 6:24. It says, "Will the Lord's face shine on you?" And so where you go, that face of the Lord that's shining on you, you're going to take that. And wherever you walk into, the Lord will shine through you. And people will not be the same when they meet you, because they're not going to see you guys. They're going to see the Jesus in you. So I bless you with that knowledge to know that you're not taking just your own selves. You're taking Jesus with you. And they will see that in you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Praise God. I got one. Yeah, I was just going to speak over you just a little bit. In Acts chapter 13, it's when, this is the Holy Spirit said, is as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Charlie and Rebecca, or separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." It's apparent to me that God has a call in your life. It's apparent to all of us. And I know that you were spoken over quite a few times here in this house. And God's got great things for you, for your family, okay? And praise God, Jesse's going to be with us here still. Is that right? He's going to be visiting with us. Isn't that right, Jesse? Yeah, yeah. Did you want to say something?
I love my family. My dad Charles, my mom Becca, my sister Genevieve. I'm happy for them that having like a, you know, a good ending and a good start.
Absolutely.
From what I can see, and I feel that they're truly blessed to go out and, you know, to a new adventure.
Absolutely.
A new story.
Praise God.
And I know God has put on their hearts that they need that in their life, and that new beginning.
Amen. Praise God. That's
and,
good.
It's kind of sad that they're, like, going away from the church and from most of the family, but it is what it is. And
it's exciting.
They'll be blessed along the way.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesse. Yeah. So he says, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for work whereunto I have called them." And he says, "And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away." And that's what we're going to do this morning. So could I get everybody to stand, if you would? And just stretch your hands out toward this family. We're going to lay hands on them, or we're going to send them out. It is such a great, it's an honor to know men and women of God. How many say amen to that? These are part of the kingdom. These are kingdom kids, amen? And God's got things for them, and so we're excited about that. You're not happy that they're going, but you know, it's not our will, it's his will be done. Amen. Have you say amen to that? So Father, we thank you this morning for Charlie, Rebecca, Genevieve, and God, and Jesse, Lord. We ask you, Lord, that your hand of blessing would continually be upon them. Speak to them, Father. Your word says, so as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So Lord, I thank you, Lord, that these are sons, your children, Father. And so, Lord, continue to speak to their hearts, lead them, guide them. Let there be a clarity in every step as they go after you and find that which you have for them, Father. We speak to this city of Oklahoma City. Get ready. You got no idea what's coming your way. And in Jesus' name, we bless you in the name of the Lord. May the Holy Ghost come upon you and continue to push you forward in Jesus' name. Let heaven and earth declare. Let heaven and earth see and hear the blessing of the Lord is upon this family in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So you guys, amen. Praise God. Hey, we love you guys. love you guys. We're going to miss you. You guys better come back. Come back and visit us, okay?
You're gonna have to visit us.
Yeah. Oh, we will. I guarantee you that. Come on. Praise God. Get ready to worship, folks. Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, we got communion. Yes. You may be seated. I'm sorry. Praise God.
Woo. This thing's almost taller than me. Yeah. Okay. Good morning. It's a beautiful day, and it's always wonderful when we can come to the Lord's table. You know, the work of Jesus on the cross is something we should never forget. His suffering, his body, and his blood given for us. We were bought with a price, redeemed by love, and set free from our sins. Hebrews 13:20 tells us the new covenant is unconditional and undeserved. It's a covenant of grace. We can do nothing to earn it except we simply accept and receive by faith. Jesus died on the cross for you. This is one time that even though we're here corporately to receive, you're going to receive it individually. This is your relationship with the Lord as yourself. And what his gift gave to each one of you and for me, that, you know, he was able to redeem so much for us. Jesus restored everything, yet we often believe a lie about ourselves. Sometimes we feel worthless. Sometimes we feel like we're not good enough. Sometimes we feel like we don't measure up. Yet God created you with wisdom. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that's his word, and we can stand on that. So you were given a purpose, a destiny, and a calling. And this is something that we all have in him. Right now, as they pass out the elements, I'm going to continue on. It says, the Lord's Supper was instituted by Jesus Christ. He commanded its observance and asked that it be done as a remembrance and celebration of his sacrifice and love. So it's something that we have to always remember what he did for us. We can't even imagine the depth of his love being on that cross. It was a very difficult thing for him to do, and it was a time that he even felt separated from his father. And I think there's times when we feel separated because of by what we do, but we're redeemed by him, by his love, by his grace, and we are able to be accepted at all times, even when we're not accepting of ourselves. God is gracious, and he's loving, and he's forgiving. In 1 Corinthians 11:23, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he was had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So if you could please take the bread. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup. This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." So please take the cup. So remember, when you start feeling worthless, when you start feeling that, you know, you're not good enough, remember you are through the blood of Christ. He brings you healing of your mind, your body, and your spirit. It's limitless. And he gives you courage to encouragement to help you do whatever it is that he set for you to do. And now we have to walk in it. We can't be fearful. And in this time and this age, we need to be walking in the destiny that he set for us. And so my prayer for you is that God would grant you peace, but he would also grant you the courage to move forward, to look to him for everything that you do, that you would watch over all the things that he has set for you. When he gives you a purpose, when he gives you direction, follow it, walk in it, be a part of it, because he has already prepared for those that you will come across to hear what it is that you want to share about the Lord. So I ask the Lord to bless you and keep you, and may his face shine upon you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi. So I got a little saying for you guys today.
It's for anyone with any type of walk in, with Jesus Christ, if you're low or high, and if you don't have faith, if you don't have faith, you have belief. If you don't have belief, you have trust. And if you don't have trust, you have conviction. And if you don't have conviction, you have certainty. If you don't have certainty, you have knowledge. And if you don't have knowledge, you have insight. And if you don't have insight, you have God in yourself. And sometimes our walks are different. And we just have to be bold in Christ Jesus.
Come on.
That's right. I just want to say,
praise God.
In 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Yes, amen.
And I just want to say some inspiring words to whoever needs to hear it. So wherever, if you're high or low in your walk with Christ Jesus, just don't take your eyes off God. And
come on.
And if you don't have yourself, you have God, and you can find yourself in Christ Jesus. So
come on. Hallelujah. Praise God.
I just want to say some inspiring words.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hey. I want to just say this. This young man came to us 3 years ago?
Four.
4 years ago. And at the time, he was homeless, staying in a wash somewhere here in Green Valley. And for whatever reasons, wasn't going home. And it was crazy. Maybe 2 years later, right? Mom and Dad showed up in our church.
Yeah, and you said they would walk right through the doors. How would you like if they walked right through those
doors? Come on.
2 years later.
And Mom and Dad walked through the doors, and they were reunited in the church, in the house. And I'll tell you what, we've seen growth in Jesse. Is that right? Praise God. Jesse is growing in the Lord. He's new in the Lord, and he's growing. Be praying for him. When you get a chance, minister to him. Speak a word of life. God gives you to speak to him. Speak it to him. Amen? And now I'm sure that he's going to give you whatever God gives him to speak back. Amen? Praise God. How many know we're supposed to be building one another and training one another? It says speaking to one another, speaking good things to one another. How many say amen to that? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm proud of this young man. I'm proud of this guy. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Anybody else have anything that they want to speak to the house? Hallelujah. Come on, Charlie. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now you want to talk. Now you're leaving. Yeah, come on.
Better late than never.
Praise God.
So something that's been coming to me a lot lately is our comfort zone. Who likes being comfortable? I think everybody likes being comfortable. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't like being comfortable?
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
Well, I'm challenging myself. I'm really proud of my wife today, who stepped outside of her comfort zone.
Come on, man.
Praise and shared God. Some scripture today. If she's never done that before, so I'm really proud of her for
praise
doing
God.
That.
Amen.
So it's really easy to, day after day, Monday through Sunday, live in the same routine, doing it over and over and over again. But if you want change in your life, you need to get out of that comfort zone.
Come on, brother.
And I think that's a big reason why my family and I are leaving. and I'm not 100% sure what's going to happen, but I'm not afraid.
Come on.
Because I've got God in my life.
Amen.
And I know with that I can overcome anything. And I'm just truly grateful for that. And I challenge everybody to find something to get out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, come on.
And I just think that's really important that people need to hear that.
Come on. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. Jesus.
Speaking about getting out of your comfort zone, this is out of my comfort zone, believe me.
Come on. Praise
but
God.
I wrote this a while back, and I thought I'd better share it today. I thought it was meaningful. Step into the kingdom. Step into the light. March forth in his power, the Spirit so bright. Remember his promise, his mercies all new. Come alive in his love. Flow with joy, oh so true.
Yes.
Enter his gates with singing and praise. March on with faith. Let your spirit raise. for he's right beside us. We have nothing to fear. Our master is worthy. His message is clear.
Yes.
Don't snuff out the candle burning so bright. Let it show all around you. Bring forth his light. Push out the darkness. Sweep it under your feet. Tread over the doubt. There is no defeat. Drink in his mercy. Speak of his love. Climb upon mountains to new heights above. Don't just exist for today. Have him guide you and pray. You're a child of the King, so let the world know his message of love. As in him, you grow.
Yes, praise God. Yeah, come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Wendy. Wendy is our wordsmith of our church. Amen? Come on. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
No, I just want to thank the Lord. First of all, we went to Georgia, Savannah and Atlantic, and we were up there and had a good time, went on vacation. And I've been praying for my brother-in-law inside of me because he doesn't really know the Lord. And I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm just, you know, I'm not telling my wife nothing. I'm just praying for him and his wife. And the last day got pretty tough. He came out and got me upset. You know, that song you sang earlier, brother, that when you can't see him, or how, I don't remember how it goes, but he's still working. Even though you don't see it, he's working.
Yeah, come on.
You know, so I'm thinking about, you know, just sitting here thinking about it. It got a little bit ugly towards the end, and what he said, he goes, you know what, Rick, I don't like it when you come to my house and you preach to me. I go, Joe, I didn't even preach to you. I didn't say nothing about God. But see, that's the adversary. The adversary was already knowing that, you know what? Just because God's presence is there, something was starting to happen. Mm-hmm. And I didn't notice that. And I got a little bit upset in a way, and I didn't say too much. I did tell my wife, go, you know what? Pack the clothes. We're going to go to the hotel. We'll get the plane from there. And she goes, Rick, we can't leave like this. And I go, you're right. So I just prayed. I said, okay, let me go back and talk to Joe. We talked, and we had a good time afterwards. You know, he mellowed down a little bit. But I never thought about that. What was happening at that time is that prayer is changing things. Just praying in the Spirit. You know, he was feeling something that he didn't. I guess it's almost like when somebody puts a bright light in your eyes, it's like, oh, my God, you know, and that's what I saw. It's like, you know, there's something here, and he, you know, it started to move his heart. But let's just keep him in prayer and his wife in prayer that God is going to change him. Because Amen. You can't see what you need to see, you know, until you allow God to work in his life. And I know that, you know, wherever you go, I believe you leave a residue. And I said, you know, Lord God, I'm going to leave a residue here in his icebox. In Jesus' name, I leave that residue, Lord.
Amen. Praise
Lord,
God.
I'm going to leave the residue right here on his, when he opens his door, Father, there's a residue right here, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I go, whatever it takes, Father God, he's yours. He's not mine. He's yours. Yes. Even though we had a hard time, we had a good time. But when you can't see it,
praise God.
Just trust God. Trust God. I love you guys. That's just a small testimony.
Praise God. Go ahead.
I just want to share with everybody this morning in our adult Bible study in an unabashed commercial. We do have a 9 o'clock
commercial
Bible
free.
Study. Yes. We were talking this morning about the difference between religion and relationship. You know, there are a lot of religions in the world. All of those religions say, it's on you. It's on you. If you are good enough, if you do enough good works, if you pray enough, if you say enough Hail Marys, yep. maybe you might get into heaven, except for Christianity.
Yeah, that's right. Come on.
Except bro. For our relationship that we have with the Creator of the universe. Because the Word of God tells us that we could never be good enough.
Yeah, exactly.
The
Come
Apostle
on,
Paul said that the law that was handed out was just to show our shortcomings. We could never do it. But praise God, we don't have to do it.
That's right. Come
because
on,
because He has already
Come
done
on.
It.
Praise God.
He's already done it all for us, and all we have to do is accept it.
Come on.
Romans 5:8 says, God shows his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Come on. Hallelujah.
It's there. Yeah. And all we need to do is accept it and walk in it.
Amen.
Praise God.
Come on, preacher. Come on, man. Yeah. That boy Hank. Ooh, hallelujah. Just talking, just taking a walk with my woman. Hallelujah. I just thought I'd come up and talk to her. She tried to pull away. Oh, she wants to be on this side. Yeah, but you know, we gotta go back, right? So just taking a walk with my wife. Praise God. Wednesday we celebrated our 48th year of marriage. And when I saw this young lady, I was in seventh grade, and I went, it was over. I fell in love, and I'm going to keep you in front of me, kid. But yeah, let me tell you, last Sunday when we were worshiping, somehow I remember, come on, doing this thing. No, you stay right there. Stand still. Okay. I remember doing this last hour. Praise God. And I was going around her. We're standing right there. I said, praise God. Praise God. You know what? Stand up just a minute. That person next to you, husbands, if you would, get your wife and just do that around her. Moms, dads, or whatever, whoever's next to you, just do this around her. Come on. Come on. Yeah, let's get a little bit of beauty. Let's get a little beat going. Come on. Come on. See, God rejoices. God surrounds us. He surrounds you with praise, and he rejoices over you. And this is what I was feeling last week. Hallelujah. And then when Tommy preached, somebody say amen when Tommy preached. Come on, when Tommy preached, hallelujah, there was a break. Hallelujah. I will tell you, just as you rejoice over your children and your wife, you know what? It's good to just rejoice around them. Amen. Hallelujah. To appreciate them. I appreciate this young lady. She is what the scripture calls a help. Yeah, you can sit down. I'm going to get you up in a minute again anyway. So sit down. Come on, praise God. I'll tell you what. God will give you folks. God will give you kids. God will give you children. God will give you somebody else's kids. Amen. Down the street, they don't know Jesus, but the kids love you for whatever reason. Rejoice over them. Rejoice that God has placed them in your life because they belong to him anyway. They're his kids. Amen. I love my God. I love my daughter and my son. I love them. I rejoice over them. They do. We are a family of ministers, if you want to say that. My son's a minister. My daughter's a minister. We're ministers. That's what we do because we love God's people. And we want to minister to God's people. Let me just tell you, not only do I rejoice over my wife, I rejoice over all of you. Is that okay? Is it okay that I rejoice over you for who you are and what God is doing in your life? Hallelujah. I've got no idea the plans he has for us through you, but I know they're great things. Amen? Hallelujah. So rejoice in the Lord at all times, no matter what. You're going through something hard. Offer up a sacrifice of praise. It is a sacrifice. It is an offer to God that he won't refuse. He cannot refuse. Amen? An offer of praise. Offer up to God an offer he can't refuse. And you'll see that he will quicken your heart. He will enlighten the darkness or the pain that you're in because he loves you. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Woo! Know this, folks, that God's not done yet. How many know that? He is not done. The same power that he spoke to create the heavens and the earth, that same power is at active and at work in your life, and he's not done. He is going to do what he purposed and planned to do from the foundation of the world. That's why you're in his kingdom. How many say amen to that? That's why you're here. There are so many things we've got no idea what God is doing. But I will tell you something. If a man or a woman will seek after the Lord with their whole heart, whole heart. How many say whole heart? Everybody say whole heart. Whole heart. Whole heart. You will find him.
He will speak to you. He will lead you and guide you. There will be no doubt at all what he has for you because it's him. Amen? Hallelujah. So you go after him with your whole heart. Amen? I'm going to walk my wife back. We're going to let Pastor John come on up. Come on, praise God. Okay. Not yet. Oh, okay.
Just as I'm listening to these two beautiful... We can't just let him go sit down. So I'm going to ask you guys to either come up here and lay your hands upon them or stand and just reach your hands towards them. And we need to pray for them. The hearts that you guys are praying for have been being molded by our Lord Jesus for many, many, many years. And what a privilege it is that they can share what God's given them for the rest of us. And just as he said, this entire family, from Henry to Rosie, Rebecca and Jonathan, and Alani, Devin, what a blessing you guys have walked into. So, Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you have brought Henry and Rosie, Lord, into our midst, Lord. Lord, the hearts that they place towards this church family, Lord, are hard to find, Lord. So, Lord, just bless them with prosperity, Lord. Bless them with more knowledge of yourself, Lord. Bless them with the Holy Spirit, Lord, that would just lift them every day and that things will not come against this family, Lord, because you show favor upon them, Lord. Continue to show your favor, Lord. Continue to grow them in you, Lord.
Father, I just pray for complete manifestation of healing over their bodies, Father God, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, Father God. I pray the healing balm of Gilead over them, Lord
Thank
God.
You, Lord.
Father, let your blood flow through their veins, Father God. Let your blood flow, Father God, through their hearts, through their emotions, Father God, and anything that the enemy has set up against them, we tear it down right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, because they are men and women of God who hear your voice, Father. I pray that they would hear your voice more clearly than ever before, Father God, that the plans that you have for them, Father God, are good, Father God, that the plans that you have for them, Father God, are to bring people to your kingdom, Father God, to know you, Father, as their personal Savior, Father God. Father, I thank you, Lord, for Pastor, Lord God, that he has a heart for people, that he has a heart, Father God, for children, that he has a heart for men and women, young men and women, Father God, who are lost, Father God, just like we saw this young man today, Jesse, that he was brought to you, Father God. Those are miracles, Father God, that I know Pastor, Father God, has called out in his heart, Father God. So I pray, Father God, that more would come to him, Father God, that he, as he, Lord, as you open up your arms to him, Father God, that he will also open up his arms continually to those around him, Father God. Father, I pray that the desires of their heart, Father God, will be fulfilled, Father God, that they will see, they will know, Father God, of your goodness, of your greatness, Father God. So I thank you for this family, Lord God. I bless them in Jesus' name.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys. Thank
How
you,
blessed Lord. We are.
I appreciate you guys. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Enough of this. Amen. Come on. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you for that prayer. We can always use the prayer. Can't tell you. Hey, I love my wife. I love Jesus. Amen. Come on. I love Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord gave me my wife. I know it. It was a miracle to me. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you will, open your Bibles to the book of Exodus. Hallelujah. Title of the sermon today is called Living Over the Exit. How many know the book of Exodus is about the exit? Amen. When they came out of Egypt, when God took them out of Egypt. And I was in California visiting my son and sitting outside watching the vehicles come out from underneath my feet. His balcony is right over the exit for the underground garage, I guess if you want to call it, underbuilding garage. And so I was sitting out there and the cars were coming out. They stopped the road there and looked both ways and then they take off. And I was sitting there just minding my own business. And then the Lord said, here's the name of your title for your sermon, Living Above the Exit. When I told Jonathan, my son, he goes, Dad, that's corny. Don't tell me, tell him. He's the one that gave it to me. Hallelujah, that's corny. But I'll tell you what, as I went through the week, I said, Lord, I got no idea what you're talking about. But I did say something about it last week, and I was starting to sense something. But as I was searching for, I say, okay, Lord, what are you saying? What are you talking about? What is it that you want me to say this morning? And I'm going to just say this to you, that I believe that God is after the body of Christ to actually work in the mindset that he's given us. How many say amen to that? And you have, in 1 Corinthians, and 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it's the last verse in chapter 2, verse 16, I believe it is. And I'm going to bring it up a little later. You can bring it up now, but it says, yeah, go ahead, bro. That's good. It says, who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? And then it says a very, very, I sense it as a very strong statement. We have the mind of Christ. Let me say amen to that. That you have been given the mind of Christ. In the book of James, James talks about a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. How many say amen to that? How many of you ever felt that unstableness in your life? You know, you're believing God for one thing, but something else is going on. So, you feel that unstableness. So what I believe God is saying, look, there is a foundation that he's placed within you, and that foundation is based on the truth, right? Not on what Pastor Henry says, what on Pastor on the internet says, whatever. The truth of the gospel is what God is after us to look at, because he says what he says in this book. Amen? Can I tell you, you don't need anything else. You got a Bible, you're fully equipped. You better get that. Can I get an amen with that? If you've got a Bible, you're fully equipped. You don't need to know what all these other folks said about other. You don't need to know, you don't need to read all these documentaries of things going on that happened before or paganism and all those other things. You got a Bible, you got it all. Is that right?
Yes.
And it's important that you take a look at the Word of God. Test everything. Okay? Is that cool? Spend time in the Bible. Spend time in the Word of God. Jesus said it this way. The words that I speak to you, he said, they are spirit and they're truth. Jesus said that. Remember that? It's important that you understand that there is no recall on this. God haven't said, well, I'm going to take back my word. Is that right? Is that right? There's no recall. He doesn't call his word back. He said, this is what it is. This is where it's going. Sometimes you look at the Word of God and you say, well, that can't be right. Amen. Say amen. Anybody said that? Nobody said that. Well, I've said it. I'll say, God, that ain't right. Nobody says these kind of things nowadays. But yet God says, no, I know. That's why I want you to say it. Woo, that's crazy. I said, well, I don't know if I know this or not. But all of a sudden, what he's spoken to me, I begin to see it all over Scripture. It's almost like a light comes on and you're seeing it, boom, and another piece here, boom, and another piece here, boom. And the Word of God teaches us that it's by here a little, there a little, precept upon precept, line upon line. It's all over in the Scriptures, amen? Truth is all over there. So what I'm going to share with you today is some things that I know it sounds weird. Now everybody, how many of you guys know I'm weird already? Amen? Is that right? Come on, man. He's already weird, man. But I'm not asking you to believe me. I'm asking you to believe what the Word of God says. Okay, that's all I'm saying. Believe what God's word says. Because I cannot change your mind. It's not up to me. If I try to sit down with you and say, look, I'm going to sit down here, Rick, and I'm going to change your mind on this thing. That's not my job. The Holy Spirit will say, get out of my chair. Amen? How many say, get out of my chair, Hank? It's not your job. It's my job to change the hearts and the minds. That's the Holy Spirit's job. This is why, folks, we've got to have the Holy Spirit today. The Holy Spirit has to be active and working in your life. How many say amen? Hallelujah. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, talk to him. It's already within you. Do you know that? It's already resident in you. If the Holy Spirit is, if you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, everything you need is already within you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, God has given you all things. Everybody say all things. All things that pertain to life and godliness. He's already given it to you. It's already there. You just need to discover it. Amen? Hallelujah. So if you hear some things that are kind of strange today, don't walk out on me, all right? I'll run after you. I'll pull you back. Sit down. No, come on. I won't. I would tell you this. If you got to go, you can go. Is that right, Pastor John? Yeah. If it gets long in here and you got a roast in the oven, it's okay as long as you call me to come have roast. Okay? You can leave. No, but we talked about it because, you know, it can get very long in here. We open the mic for folks to stop. And we say, you know what? We want the body of Christ ministering to the body of Christ. So I think it's very important in today's world. Amen? If you find it, if after a while you start coming up and you're ministering to the body of Christ, I'm going to tell you, when you get out there in the world, you're going to find it where it comes out as a flow. It's going to be a flow for you because you've already opened that crack, right? And the water begin to come out, and then now all of a sudden it starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So you come up here and you start ministering to the body of Christ. When you get out there, you watch what happens. That same flow will begin to take off. It will come out in different words, different for whatever is going on in the person's life that you're speaking to. It is what God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. How many say amen to that? How many want to see that? How many want to see it in your life? Where you're, man, everything, everywhere I go, man, that I sense the Spirit of God, this is what he's saying to you. Sir, come here. No, get over here. Hey, God says whatever. You know, you speak to him a word or her a word. God is pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah. Aren't you excited?
Yes.
Man, I'm telling you, I'm excited. Praise God. So let's go to Exodus chapter 12. We're going to start at verse 29 and go to 42. The word of God says it this way. And it came to pass that at midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon. Man, that's crazy, isn't it? The firstborn, the Lord was, it was the death angel, if you will. He was killing him, okay? Firstborn of cattle, and Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt. For there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up, get you forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go. Serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone and bless me. How many said that? How many ever told somebody, get out of my house and bless me? Yeah, I get a blessing when you leave. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Praise God. Be gone and bless me. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. Their God is working totally against us. How many of you understand what they were doing? They kicked them out, man. And the people took their dough, that's their bread dough, not their money. They took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes and upon their shoulders, and the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they had need, as they required. And they spoiled the Egyptians, and the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men. 600,000 just guys. So how many people you think was in there? Probably double that, children, women and children, amen? So, man, million and a half, maybe 2 million. I don't know, who knows how many. I mean, but there's a lot of folks, but it's 600,000 men for sure. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, flocks, herds, even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they had brought forth out of Egypt. For it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry. Neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. Okay? 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out of the land of Egypt. Exactly 430 years, the same day as when Jacob and his family, Joseph brought his dad into Egypt, the same day, 430 years later, they left. They went out from the land of Egypt. And then it says this, it says, it is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed. How many times does it say to be observed? To be looked at, to be thought about, to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. God said it twice. He said, this. The word of God says it twice. This was a night to be observed, a night to be observed, something to be looked at, something. Continue to look at it because it was describing something. It was saying something. How many of you know that the word of God says in Corinthians, it says that these things happened to them for us, that we might have an example of what God was. But it's a type for us. How many of you know that? Do you know what that word of God, let me look. Did I give you that, Abe? 1 Corinthians 10:11. Give them a chance to find that. You got 5 seconds, my son. Just kidding. These things happen to them for examples, and they are written for our admonition. Is that right? Upon whom the ends of the world are to come. The ends of the world. How many of you like that word? The ends of the world. It's kind of crazy, huh? It's talking about something a lot different, not just the world ending. You know how people run around and say, hey, it's the end of the world. It's the end of the world. You know, the sky's falling, whatever. The ends of the world. They're describing something. But he says, this thing is a night to be observed by all the children of Israel, every generation, as something very important. Today, I want you to hear something. This is Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen to that. Grace and peace. Is that right? Praise God. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. You see that? He has delivered us by believing in Jesus from this present evil world. Can I tell you something? When the day you believed in Jesus, do you guys remember that day? Anybody remember that day? Amen. The day you believed, that day, even though you didn't understand everything that the Word of God is saying, even though you had no idea what it was, but all of a sudden you felt something. You felt, man, I found God. How many of you like that? Anybody like that? I remember, I said, sheesh. It seemed to me nobody else out there knew anything about God. Is that right? Even though a brother led me to the Lord, it seemed like, man, God, there is a God. You know what? I was raised up in a church that, you know, I mean, we talked about him, but I didn't know the reality of him being so real to me personally. There's a God. He's alive. He changed my life. I may say amen. I mean, he changed my life. Hallelujah. I was headed this way, and now I'm going that way. Hallelujah. He delivered me, it says, from this present evil world. Can I tell you something? It was an exit. I exited. It was an exit. Pray with me just for a minute. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for what you have done. Father, I know that you are not finished. And God, you have so many things to bring to us. Lord, I pray for every heart that you would open the hearts to hear your word, to see your word, to know your word, Father. Give us wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of who you are and what you're doing today, Lord, today. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Praise God. There was an exit. That was an exit in my life. I exited, if you will, this world, even though I'm still on this world. How many say amen? I exited the world and I entered into the kingdom of God. Amen? I mean, without anybody saying it, come on. Yeah. You could, I mean, you can say amen in here if you want. I don't know if I want to coax you out of it or what. But yeah, I say, yeah, bro, amen, bro. Come on, man. I've even sat down on the chair and sat down. I say, yeah, amen, pastor, preach it. Come on, man. I don't need to coax you. But if you hear something that you say, yeah, I get that, man. Say amen, amen. You know what amen means? So be it. So be it. Hallelujah. You're healed. Yeah, come on, all 12 of you. Come on, man. Hallelujah. You're above and not beneath. Come on. Hallelujah. You are handpicked by God. Ooh, yeah, that's a big one. Come on, man. Hallelujah. You are brought out of the world and placed into the kingdom of God. That's who he is. That's what he's done for you. Amen. A cheap one. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Woo, that's good, man. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Hallelujah. Check this out. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things are where? Above. Live life over the exit. Living life over the exit. Seek those things that are above. Where Christ, what? Sits at the right hand of God. Do you remember when, I think it's in Hebrews chapter 10, I believe it is, but it says that after he had paid the price for our sins, the Father said to him, Father said to the Son, sit down at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Jesus, sit here at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. How many know what the footstool is in the world? How many know what the Bible describes as a footstool? What is it? It's the earth. It's the earth. The earth is the footstool. The heavens, his throne is in the heavens, and the earth is his footstool. But God tells him, sit here at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Can I tell you something? He's going to do that by you and me. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Jesus sent his spirit into the earth to be with us. Amen? And this is how he will make the earth his footstool. Ooh, yeah, yeah. Amen. Come on, man. Amen. Come on, man. Hallelujah. It's going to be with you. He told Adam, subdue the earth, take dominion over it. Amen? Amen. Right? He said that, right? I think he did. Anybody remember that? Yeah, I think he did. He said that. Subdue the earth, take dominion over it. Well, guess what? We haven't done that yet, have we? Have we? But are we? Oh, yeah, you bet. God is built. You know, he said something else to Adam in the scripture where he said this, fill the earth, replenish the earth. Did he say that? You remember that? What did that mean? He filled the earth with just people that don't care about God. No, he was talking about men and women of God. See, Adam was a son of God. And he's told him, fill the earth, replenish it, subdue it, and take dominion over it. Now, see, let me just say to you, ever since the fall, it hasn't been happening. But I will tell you today, everybody say today. This is the day the Lord has made. Amen? This is the day of what? Rest? Amen? Today, there are more Christians, spirit-filled Christians on this planet than there ever has been. How many say amen to that? Amen. Let me tell you, the Word of God says to subdue the earth, take dominion over it, and replenish it. See, it couldn't have happened until a time like today. Because it had to be men and women of God all around this globe. How many say amen to that? Ooh, come on. I will tell you, you are in a, if you want to call it a movement, it is a push by God for the body of Christ to come into the maturity of Jesus Christ. Amen. How many say amen to that? Not the maturity of whatever. I don't even want to say. But the maturity of who Jesus is. How many? And do you know how you get to that? We read it earlier. It's the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. Do you guys know? Hey, do you guys know? Do you know that the Bible says you're dead and yet alive? Is that right? Well, yeah. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, I'm sorry, you're dead. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're dead. So we're having a major funeral service this morning, right now. Praise God. Amen. Y'all are dead. That's what the Word of God says. You're dead. Yeah, you too. You're dead. The moment that you believe that Jesus died for your sins, you were placed on that cross with him. Do you realize that? That's why he tells us in a lot of times. He says, take up your cross and follow me. Why? Because you're dead. Look at your neighbor says, you're dead. You don't stink. You don't stink, but you're dead. Hallelujah. Praise God. Everybody say amen. Ooh, amen. Hallelujah. Why don't you look at it? He says, why you dig like that? Huh? Praise God. Hebrews 9:27. I gave you that one. Hebrews 9:27. The Word of God says this, it's been appointed unto man. How many times did I die? One time. One time. And then judgment. Is that right? I love this. This is one of those scriptures where I said, God, you're crazy. It can't be that way. Nobody says this. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit is saying this all over the planet. I know it is. I know it's happening. I know. How many of you know that a seed has to be planted before it can grow? Amen. Do you know that? And a lot of times the seeds are unrecognizable. Is that right? When you, get a grapefruit seed, an orange seed, a lemon seed, lime seed, what else? Seed. No, not a mustard seed. Orange, lemon, lime, grapefruit. Put those seeds together, stir them up, and then go to somebody and say, which one's which? Are they recognizable? They are absolutely unrecognizable. Is that right? But how many of you know that a seed never forgets who it is? Is that right? Whatever that seed is, you might say that this is this corner of the house, this is where the orange seed goes. We're going to put the orange tree right here. All right. Which seed? It's got to be that one. All right. You put it in there. What do you get? Tangerines. Right? You're supposed to be at the seed never forgets. It always knows. It will always produce after its kind. Amen? What kind of seed are you? You are of a godly seed. Woo, come on. You are godly. The seed of God is in you. Oh, Allah. You are designed and created to produce. Amen. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. So it says right here, it says that it's appointed unto man wants to die. Is that talking about your physical death? Absolutely not. It is talking about who you are, and when you believed in Jesus Christ, you died. And then after that death, the Holy Spirit, little by little, brings words of revelation to you. Everybody say revelation. Do you know it's important that you receive revelation from the Holy Spirit, from God, about you? That means, hey, how many of you know you're reading through the Bible and you look and all of a sudden something just opens up to you and you go, oh my, I've never seen this before, right? And you run over to your neighbor and they look at it and they go, wow, yeah, that's a good scripture. They don't get it, but all of a sudden, but it's in your heart. It's burning in your heart. How many of you have felt that before? That is revelation. That's when the Holy Spirit's showing you something so important to you. So important to you because it is God one-on-one leading you, guiding you, teaching you. Hallelujah. If I was, you know, one thing I know that the Word of God says that you need that no man teach you, but yet we got to have preachers, we got people that will speak the Word of God. Is that right? But as they're speaking the Word of God, go to the Lord, keep this before you. Lord, whatever I hear, Lord, show me, teach me, lead me, and guide me, because I want what you have. How many say, I just want what Jesus has? Man, you know what? Some of the things he's done for me have no place in life. So you got to find out from God what he has for you, and you got to go to him. It's a one-on-one personal relationship with your Father. Isn't that right, Tom? One-on-one. And will he speak it to you? Oh, you bet he'll speak it to you. When you go after him to find those things, oh, you watch what he says. So here the Word of God says, it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. I'm going to just say this to you. Don't be expecting now, since you believe, I mean, how many of you heard what I said? It's appointed unto man once to die. And this is the part that's going to get crazy on you. And then judgment. There is no reason why you should die again. There is no reason why your body should give up the ghost, like it says in what Jesus did. There's no reason. The Word of God says in Romans chapter 3, I think it's the last verse, it says the wages of sin is death. Is that right? But the gift of God is eternal life. Hallelujah. Eternal life has got no part of death. Is that right? Oh, man. So just consider what I'm saying to you. All right, I'm going to show you another scripture. Let's go to John chapter 5, verses 17 through 25. The last time I was preaching, I don't even know how long ago that was. How long ago was that, Robert? Do you remember? I don't know. About a month ago. Yeah. Who knows? Hallelujah. Was talking about the rest. How many of you guys remember that sermon? Talked about the rest. Talked about the day of rest. How many of you remember that? Talked about it's not a day. It's a place. It is a place that you get into, okay? It's not a certain day. Hallelujah. It is a place that your heart finds with God. Is that okay? It is rest to you. I was talking about that, and I was talking about when Jesus had raised up the man that was by the pool of Bethesda and told him to carry his bed, and they got mad at him because they said, the Pharisees got mad because they said, hey, you did this on the Sabbath day, which is breaking the law. And then he said, Jesus called himself the Son of God. He says, my Father works and so do I. And so they got mad at him because he said that he was the Son of God and his Father. So I want to take starting at verse 17. The Word of God says, Jesus answered them, my Father works hitherto and I work. Therefore, the Jews sought more to kill him. Because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said God was his Father, which was absolutely a new concept to the Jewish people. All they knew was, they didn't know him as the Father. And Jesus brought in this concept. Can you see how strange it was to their ears to hear these things? And this is why, folks, when I'm speaking to you, some of these things, they're strange things. And I'm asking you, hey, don't believe me. Go to the Word of God. But it says this, therefore the Jews sought to kill him the more to kill him, because he not only broken the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said to them, verily, verily, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. You see those words? Can I tell you, those same words should be in your life. I can do nothing but what I see my Father do. What's he talking about? Folks, in the church age, we have tried to figure things out on our own. Men's wisdom, trying to figure out how to do God's work. Is that okay? Do you guys hear what I'm telling you? And how you know it's been okay, but now it's time for God. God is saying it's time for something different. Is that right? And this thing that's something different is actually what the Bible calls doing the will of the Father. Cool. All right? All right. Hold on. He says, verily I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Jesus is laying some things out here. He's telling us some things. He said, this is why I do it. I mean, you want to know how Jesus did it. I want to know how Jesus did it. I don't care how Fred did it. I don't care how, Mr. Peanut. I don't care how he did it. I want to know how Jesus did it. He's telling us. What I see the Father do, that's what I do. Can I tell you how important your prayer life is? How important your life is in praying in the Spirit? I'll tell you, it's vitally important because it's those things that bring the visibility of the invisible. Is that okay? You begin to see the things that you really can't see because you're seeing them from the inside out. It's called judgment. You see, it's given unto man once to die and then judgment. That's the way God sees it. And that's why Jesus said, this is the way I do it. He sought his Father every morning. Is that right? Every morning he was seeking his Father, spending time with his Father, talking to his Father. And thank God we got some places in the scriptures where God said, the word of God says that God spoke back. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Amen. Some people said it thundered. So, it's crazy. He said, for the Father loves the Son. How many say amen? If the Son of God is in you, can I tell you something? God loves you, loves you, loves you. Amen? I'm going to tell you what. He loves folks in the world. Is that right? The Bible says, for God so loved the world. But if you are his kid, there's even an additional. I don't even know what I'm talking about right there. Man, but can you sense that his love for you is great, 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 great. Hallelujah. It says, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself doeth. Do you see what Jesus is saying to us? I don't do anything unless my Father shows me. And he says, because he loves me, he shows me. So folks, hey, don't be distracted. He will show you. He will give you these things. As a matter of fact, it's his great desire that you possess the kingdom. Is that what he says? He wants you to know these things. He's not trying to hide anything from us. He's trying to let us see everything. He wants to show us things. And there are some things that are crazy out there that he's trying to show us. Isn't that crazy? Can I tell you that? What's the furthest planet from here? Not Pluto anymore, is it? What's the one before Pluto? Anybody know? Well, a lot of good you guys are. Come on. I don't know. So, was it your aunt? No. What's that? Neptune. Okay. Thank you. No?
No, Pluto's back.
Pluto? No. Oh, he said Pluto's back. Did they make it a planet again? God, just like mankind, huh? Yeah. No. It's a planet. Now it's not. Can I tell you, even those guys, even all those out there are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God on this planet. Amen. Now, that's wild thinking, amen? That's wild thinking, because the Bible says that the whole creation suffered when Adam sinned. And the whole creation, not just the earth, but the whole creation is waiting for the manifestations of the sons and daughters of God, the sons of God on this planet. Isn't that crazy? Woo, but guess what? We're headed that way, folks. You can get excited. I get excited. Anyway, we'll leave that alone. For as the Father raises up the dead, look at this. As the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom he will, for the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment to the Son. This is another matter. I got to teach on this one. He says, but all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. How many honor the Son just as you honor the Father? Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Amen. The honor, and because the Spirit dwells in you, honor all three in one. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Do you honor him? Do you honor him?
Yes.
Do you honor him?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Is your walk where you're honoring him and honoring him and honoring him? Because, oh God, can I tell you something? He is in the mundane part of your life. Do you know that? How do you know that? That mundane thing, you know, that thing where we're gotta sweep the porch today. Rosie wants me to wash dishes. This is mundane. Is that right? Not Monday. Mundane. Those things that you know what? Can I tell you? Just God is in it. He's in there, right in there with you. Hallelujah. He dwells in you. Hallelujah. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor him. He that honors not the Son honoreth not the Father, which has sent him. And Jesus throws this in. He goes, verily, verily, which means truthfully, truthfully. This is true upon truth, truth upon truth. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life.
Amen.
When? When you die? Come on, man. Right now, on this planet, you have everlasting life. Then he says this. He shall not come into condemnation. How many are glad for that? God didn't come to condemn you. Is that right? He came to save you. And he loves you. You will not come into condemnation, but it is past. Now look, you believe the first part. Do you believe this, where it says you are passed from death to life? Amen. All 12 of you. Yeah. Yeah, but it's okay. I do understand that there can be a hesitance on this because, we have been so conditioned by the world around us that when we see something like this, we try to excuse it. You know what I'm saying? Hey, it's talking about this or that. No, he's talking about life. And life more abundant.
Amen.
He's not talking about just the spirit and the soul. He's talking about who you are. You are spirit, your soul, and your body.
Amen.
All three is what he's talking about right there. He says, you have passed from everybody say it. Death to life. Do you know that death is far from life as light is from darkness? I was doing a eulogy for a friend of mine that passed away. His wife called me up and I worked with him in the mine for quite a few years. And she said, can you do his eulogy? I said, I sure can. And I wrote down on that eulogy, I said, death is just a part of life. How many of you have heard that before? This is just a part of life. But see, I believe in the word of God. I'm a man of God. I believe God's word. I'm filled with the Spirit. I pray in tongues every day. When God shows me something, I'm happy. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
When he comes after me for something I'm doing wrong, I'm happy. Amen? Because he loves you, and he's going to come after you for those things. Well, this time, I'm right. I wrote that down, and he said, where did you get that? Show me that in my word. I said, show me that. What was that? He said, well, death is just part of life. I go, well, I don't know, God. I mean, yeah, why you put me on a spot like this, God? How many, has God ever put you on a spot? Yeah, he's God, why you do this to me? He said, take that off of there. And this is what he said. Death is as far from life as light from darkness, hot from cold, all those opposites. Okay. This was when he first began to teach me of what we're talking about today. How much you are, how blessed you are with life that flows from the blood of Christ. Do you know that? You're so blessed. And sometimes we just don't know it. but yet we're conditioned by the world. Is that right? In Isaiah 23, the Bible talks about, and I didn't give this to the guys, but I'm not sure what verse it is, but if you get it, no, it's Isaiah 28. He says, the word of God, the Holy Spirit is speaking, and he's saying this to, he says, you have made a covenant with death. He says, but I will disannul it. How many of you know what that means? He goes, I'm going to tear it apart. Your covenant with death. And I'm saying, God, what are you talking about there? Are you talking about what I think you're talking about? He says, I am. That thing that has plagued mankind, how many know that Jesus destroyed death when he rose from the dead? The Bible says he came for it. Is that right? That he might destroy death and him, the deceiver, that had the power of death. Ooh, come on, man. So death has been destroyed. But I feel that the body of Christ, myself included, until God began to talk to me, was not stepping into this thing that God is talking about. And I'll tell you what, man. Hallelujah. When he began to talk to me, I said, hey, God, they're not going to get this. They're not going to get this. But I'm going to tell you, this is seed. It really is seed. When you go home, you start looking at this. Just take a look at it. Just start write some of these scriptures and look at it and pray and say, God, what are you saying? Is this right? Lord, take me back to that church so I can call that man on the carpet and say, man, this is what God's word is. God has to say, because I've gone through all those scriptures. I've gone through the ones where man should live 70 years plus 10 if God grants it. I've gone through the scripture where it says it's given unto man once to die. And then judgment. I've taken those scriptures to God, and I said, God, well, what about this? Well, what about this, God? I mean, amen? Because I get some of you, when I talk about this, you come to me, and you say, well, what about this? Yeah, we'll take a look at it. The Word of God says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. It's not I that lives, but it's Christ living in me. Do you understand that? The Word of God considers you dead, but alive in Christ. Death has no more dominion over you. None. Zip. Hallelujah. It doesn't. Hallelujah. I know it's hard to swallow. Huh? Anybody say yeah? Anybody say that? I know. But it's not my word. It's his word. It's not me trying to put together some kind of fancy message just to thrill everybody. I don't do that. I speak what God gives me to speak. And he's telling me it's time. Because where he says, sit here at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool, 1 Corinthians 15, you're going to find a scripture that says that the last enemy to be defeated is death. So the seed has to be planted in order for it to grow. Plain and simple. Is that okay? Plain and simple. The seed has to be planted. So, folks, I'm planting seeds this morning. Hopefully, your hearts are watered by the Holy Spirit, and God, you're allowing some of these things to at least fall on the ground. But don't let the birds. What do the birds like to do? The scriptures tell us that the birds like to come and steal the word. Is that right? Don't let them steal it. If you're having trouble with this, go and look for yourself. Amen. Praise God. Check this out. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19. I love this scripture. This is what the Word of God says in Isaiah. It says that thy dead man shall live. Yeah. Well, how do you get us in that? Well, watch this. Thy dead man shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. What's he talking about? They're talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, you that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out her dead. Isn't that cool? And some people will say, well, it's talking about the tombs. Yeah, but it's also talking about together with his dead body. Can I tell you, God is resurrecting you piece by piece, little by little. Do you understand that? He is coming to you in power, what's called revelation, to show you these things, to bring these things to you. It's pretty cool. Praise God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Quickening is revelation. How many say amen? When he quickens you, you're dead to sin, alive in Christ, but he has a program for you of revelation that will come to you personally, personally, personally. That's why you stay in your word, certain word of God. It says, and you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. You see how he's separating you from this world. He is separating you by the word of God, said you walked according to the course of this world, or if you want, you know, the programming of this world, of the way the world thinks, I'm separating you. Woo! Hallelujah. All three of you. Praise God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation. Amen? Yeah. Okay. We all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the what? Of the mind. Okay. How many know we got this nasty habit of doing what we want to do? How many say that, amen to that? Amen. A nasty habit. Stop it. Amen? Amen? Say, God, what do you want me to do? I'll do it. Come on, man. Hey, don't get offended, okay? We're all in that. But I do believe the Holy Spirit is saying, now, it's time to build. It's time to build, time to build, time to build, because we're headed somewhere. Fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others, but God who is what? Rich in mercy. Amen? Amen. Amen. How many say amen to that? Amen. Yeah. For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Amen? Amen. How many know that grace is the spirit of grace? It's a spirit. His name is the Holy Spirit. That's what grace is. Every time you find grace in the scriptures, just replace it with the Holy Spirit. And you watch. Watch what it does to you. Because you're saved by grace. It was the Holy Spirit that reached out and grabbed you. Is that right? It's the Holy Spirit, by the word of God, reached out and said, hey, come on, man. I'm going to take you someplace. You're saved by grace. Hallelujah. It is divine influence upon your life. It is the Holy Spirit influence you. Amen? He says, don't do that again, is what he says. I'm doing this because I'm saying the Holy Spirit. Don't do that again. He said, you're saved by grace and have been raised up. Listen, you have been raised up. What? Together. And made to sit together. Amen? In where? In heavenly places. Where? In what? In Christ Jesus. See, you're born again, and you have been raised up into heavenly place. See, you are way above the exit. How many say amen? Amen. People want to leave this world through the rapture right now. And I say, hey, man, don't be looking for the rapture. Be looking for Jesus. Be looking for the Spirit of God, what he's trying to do with you. Don't be concerning your time with the rapture of the church. Don't be concerning your time. Oh, the times are at. It's almost time to go. Don't be concerning yourself. Concern yourself. God, what do you have for me today? Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. What do you got for me today? Hallelujah. Do not allow yourself to be positioned, like Tommy said last week, hunkering down. I don't want to hunker down. Ooh, I want to go forward. I want to take what God desires for us to take. Hallelujah. That in ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace you are saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. Amen? It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest that any man should boast, for we are whose workmanship? Whose? His? Isn't it horrible when the nail just keeps taking off on you? How many of you guys ever tried to nail a nail and you hit it one time and it flies away? Anybody ever done that? Yeah. Could it be like that with God? God trying to do something with you? Where'd he go? Come on, man. You know what? You know, it's so crazy.
It's because we really don't realize that we are in the kingdom of God now. And that he is trying to do something. And if you will listen, you'll find yourself in a place that you never dreamed of. And it is exactly what you were designed for. And when it's exactly what you were designed for, it's exactly what fulfills you. Isn't that crazy? It's crazy. Hallelujah. I didn't know I was designed for this. Didn't know it. And now I love it. It can be hard. Isn't that right? Got people moving to Oklahoma. Can be hard. But I love what God is doing. Hallelujah. We're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good unto good works, which God hath, listen to that, before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, you cannot tell me that God doesn't have a plan for you because the Word of God says right there, he has already ordained it for you. It's already there. It's already at work within you. Hallelujah. So tonight, before, or today, as you get out, before you forget about this message, amen? How many of you know it's easy to forget about a message right away? Anybody ever done that? I mean, hey, you get that, you start looking at that menu? Yeah. You know what I mean? Come on, man. And then the waitress, she knows you, and she goes, hey, what did your pastor talk about? Burgers and fries and, I can't remember. How many of you ever gone through that? Can I tell you why that is? Because you are spiritual. And what God has been speaking to you this morning is spiritual stuff. And when you get out there and you're in that, you get into that restaurant and you're getting into the natural a little bit. Is that okay? That's okay. God knows that. God knows we got to eat. Amen? Yeah, my wife laughs. Because we like to eat, don't we? I'm going to tell you what. You guys consumed some hamburgers yesterday. Come on, man. It was good, man. We couldn't cook them fast enough, could we, Tommy? Come on, man. Praise God. But before you leave this place and you forget everything that we are, I just want to say this to you. God has designed you to live above the exit. You've already crossed through the exit. You exited the world, and you're now living in the kingdom of God. And this kingdom is designed to bring this the kingdom of heaven into the kingdom of the earth. It's designed that way. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of bad guys out there that don't get it. And then I will tell you, when this thing is working, the key to the rapture is the church. The church, how she is getting along, how she's won on the earth, how she's taking dominion and taking authority over all the enemies. Like Jesus, like God said, sit here till I, at my right hand till I make your enemies the footstool. He will rapture the church. I believe in rapture because Paul the Apostle talks. How many say the Bible talks? I believe in it. But I can see that the church is not ready yet. How many say amen to that? It's not ready yet. Because we're not one. Because the Word of God says, Jesus prayed, he said that we all be of one mind. It's the mind of Christ. You've been given it. He has given it to you. So walk in it. If you're not sure how to walk in it, talk to him. Don't ask me. I don't know how to walk in it with you. Ask him. He has got a specific way for you. That's just how loving he is to you. He loves you, and he will take you to it. Amen? So would you stand? Praise God. Hallelujah. How many of you want the mind of Christ? Hallelujah. Sorry, I guess I should let the musicians know when I'm going to stop. Oh, yeah.
I had a feeling.
You had a feeling? Yeah. I had a feeling. You remember that song? Listen, the mind of Christ. I'm going to ask you to do something. From now till tonight, no. From now till tomorrow, no. From now till next week, no. From now on, thank you. From now on, there's a word I'm looking for. From now on, when you get up in the morning, say, good morning, Lord. This is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, give me your mind. Show me what you're thinking. Amen. Isn't that right? Brother Terry, isn't that right? Get up in the morning, the birds are singing. They're worshiping God, aren't they? Is that what he said to you? Come on, man. Get up in the morning and say, God, what do you got for me? Give me
your mind. I want to operate in your mind. I want to do what you have. And you watch what happens. If your heart is there and that's what you want, you see what you watch what God will do. Amen? Hallelujah. You'll be so sensitive to the lives around you. You'll be so overjoyed. You'll be a cup of water ready to be poured out. Woo! Hallelujah. Because you ask, you say, God, I just want to do what you want. Amen? Let me pray for you. Bow your heads. Let's pray. I don't usually say that, but Heavenly Father, thank you for what you're saying today, Lord. And Father, you said that you would pour out your Spirit upon all flesh. Holy Spirit, have your way in our lives. Mine included, Lord. Mine included. So much, Lord. Father, we want your mind. We want to walk in that which you've already given us, which is your mind. Father, your word says that you have not given us the spirit of fear, but you have given us a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. Thank you for that. It's your mind we're asking for. It's your ways, your thinking, your thoughts, Lord. So, Lord, I thank you for that. Everybody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. Father, I pray for my brothers and my sisters, Lord. Continue to bless them in all that they do. Let them be as a green tree planted before the rivers of waters that brings forth their fruit in the seasons, Lord, in the times that you have ordained, the times and the seasons that you have ordained, that your fruit, their fruit, which is one, would be there for the enjoyment of all those around. We thank you for it, God. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, I pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Hey, let's sing one worship song with the worship team and then hug the folks.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.